Since we're coming to the Christmas season, I thought I'd read a little story here, or a little, you might call it a fairy tale or something of that sort, to do with the Christmas spirit. It's called Alphonse and the Magic Christmas Tree. And this is from the December bulletin of Friendex, published by the North American Shortwave Association. And the address of this club is Post Office Box 8452, South Charleston, West Virginia, 25303 in the United States. And this is one of a series that NASWA carries in their bulletins called Loudenboomer Presents. And this is the story of Alphonse and the Magic Christmas Tree. A crystal clear starry night, looking down upon snow-covered landscape. Carolers making their neighborhood rounds. Everything was just as it should have been on that fateful Christmas Eve. Alphonse Humble, his wife and children, had, as was the custom in their family, waited until that night to decorate their Christmas tree. As they put the final touches on the perfectly shaped 6-foot tree, turned off all but the tree lights, and stepped back to admire it, they said, as they said every year, that it was the most beautiful tree they had ever had. Little Susie said it was so beautiful it must be a magic tree. The hour was late, and so it was time to sleep, or hope to sleep, what with excited children anticipating an important visitor and an exciting day ahead. But Alphonse, who had discovered DXing 2 years previously, decided he would spend a little time tuning his receiver before retiring. Perhaps he could pick up a new Latin station broadcasting late on Christmas Eve. And so it was that Alphonse found himself in his small shack, a converted pantry just off the living room, now serving a more important purpose. The dial lights cast a Christmas-like glow around the small room as Alphonse slowly tuned across the 60-meter band. Suddenly, a faint signal where none was normally heard. A few minutes wait, and Alphonse heard a clear identification for Radio Huacho. Alphonse was delighted. He continued to tune, and in the next 45 minutes, La Voz del Chauffeur in Ecuador and Radio San Miguel in Peru popped through his headphones. Alphonse could not believe his good fortune. He decided to try 90 meters, and there, impossibly, unbelievably, was Tristan da Cunha with a Christmas special. Alphonse nearly fainted with delight. He quickly took some notes for a reception report, and then he was thunderstruck by a fantastic possibility. Making the necessary adjustments, he quickly tuned up to 6.100 and stopped. His mouth fell open. He felt dizzy. He pinched himself, but he was awake, and St. Helena was indeed there. Alphonse got no sleep that night. Christmas morning was but a blur of flying wrapping paper and a jumble of noise to him. He cared not. He had amassed a list of loggings that would be the envy of every DXer in the world. Several weeks later, the club bulletins began to arrive containing his report and numerous editorial comments, because no one else had reported such fantastic catches. Days, weeks, months passed, during which Alphonse was pounced upon by editors and fellow DXers everywhere for his outrageous claims. Not a day of peace was to be had. Even phone calls and a telegram bombarded the distraught fellow. But to his everlasting good fortune, Alphonse had made a practice of always having his tape recorder going during DX sessions, so he had all these loggings on tape. And later, when he got the QSLs as well, some of the critics had paused to wonder, could these receptions have been for real? Now, the leadership of Alphonse's favorite club, being fair-minded fellows, and considering that Alphonse had developed into a stalwart supporter and reporter, whose reliability heretofore had never been open to question, decided to sponsor an investigation into the matter. To that end, the club commissioned one of the nation's most brilliant electronic engineers to try and find an answer. The engineer spent days interrogating Alphonse, making him go over every moment of that fateful period in his life. But the engineer could find nothing whatsoever out of the ordinary. The only thing was that in erecting his Christmas tree, Alphonse had somehow managed to get the lead-in of his antenna wrapped around the metal tree stand. The tree could have acted as some kind of very effective low-band antenna,
but the engineer saw the chance singularly slight. Nor could he explain why these loggings occurred only on Christmas Eve and not during the following 6 days when the tree was still up. Alphonse, who somehow weathered the storm, talks little of his experience these days, but when pressed, all he'll say is, "My daughter said it must be a magic tree. Maybe she was right. And as everyone knows, the magic of Christmas is pretty much gone by the end of Christmas Day. All I know is that I heard what I heard." Well, this is the story of Alphonse and the Magic Christmas Tree, as published in the December issue of Friendex by the North American Shortwave Association. After reading this story, I just wonder what might have happened if Alphonse, instead of having a 6-foot pine tree and the antenna wrapped around it, what if he had one of these modern artificial trees made of metallic material? Maybe he would have picked up even more stations than he did. Who knows? Anyway, I thought, in view of the Christmas season, this was an interesting little story, and perhaps you'll enjoy it as much as I did.